Il-program li ser tisimaw u għamiġiup li l-kombixu għatajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. I'm Patricia Camilleri. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research, their international networks, their aims and plans for the future. I shall also be hearing from staff and students about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. This is the program that keeps you informed about what's happening on campus. I'm very happy to have with me in the studio on University Matters today three gentlemen. I'll introduce them. Professor Richard Muscat, who is Pro-Rector for Research and Innovation. Dr. Anton Bartolo, Director of Corporate Research and Knowledge Transfer. And Dr. Edward Duca, Publications Developer and Editor. I shall limit my introduction to these gentlemen's designations, as I would like to leave as much time as possible to the discussion, and I suspect that our statutory 26 minutes will slip away very quickly today. On this program, we shall be discussing, as you might imagine, research, aspects of research that the university has to work with. These three aspects really create a virtuous circle between the research that's happening on the ground at the university, the challenges of connecting with industry and business, and the importance of communicating that research to a wider audience. Perhaps we can start with you, Professor Muscat. I found a definition of research on our website. Research is a quest for new knowledge and know-how. It pushes forward the frontiers of human consciousness and cognition, providing insights and options that were hitherto unavailable. How does that definition translate into what's happening on the ground here at the University of Malta?
You always ask why. And I think the university is a place where, in which you can do this sort of thing. This is the environment in which you can ask questions about particular fields and particular disciplines. And it's important that the academics actually do this. And this is what the university is all about. That's why the university is not a school, a college, or whatever. The definition of a university is basically that the responsibility of the individual here at the university is to ask these particular questions that then have an impact on what is being done in research. That may have an impact on society, may have an impact on industry, and then has an impact on what it is that the individual then lectures to the students. So the students here at the university have the advantage of the fact that the type of information that is received for them to put together, it should be at the edge, at the frontiers. So I think research is implicit in what an academic does and part of university work.
The academics here have part of their function here at the university is lecturing the students, and then they are supposed to, or really obliged to, as part of their function, is also to do research. How do they do that? Are they given time for it? How do they get the funding? How does research actually happen here?
If you want to be quantitative about this, it's like 50% of your time is spent lecturing, and the 50% of your time is spent doing research. To do research, there are some funds available at the university, and these are seed funds, in which the research fund committee receives from the university grant that is given by the government. The research fund is around 700,000 euros. Which, compared to anything else, is not exactly, a lot of money to do quite a number of things. But at the same time, I think it's very important because it gives the individuals the chances to get going with seed money. And once you have that seed money there, then you can start thinking about maybe applying for the R&I program, which is launched by MCST. This year we had, 51 projects submitted, I think, 51, which basically require that the academic does a piece of research, and this is, I think, what Anton needs to talk about, relate and have a partner from industry. So it's one of the conditions of the fund. If you're going to win the money to do something, you need an academic and someone from industry. There are EU funds, you know, the Seven Framework Programme and a number of different programmes through which a number of university staff, both in the arts and the humanities and, you know, the sciences apply for. And, you know, the number of projects we have is of the order of, what, something around 100. And it brings in to the university, you know, of the order of 5 to 10 million, you know, worth of grants to the university. So we're moving in the right direction. But to do this, you have to have the infrastructure, because that's another big part of the equation. And we've been fortunate enough to have the structural funds in which about 25 million have gone into redoing most of the labs up in the sciences. And that enables you then to participate on an international level. So all these combinations are all slowly coming together. And hopefully now we will see that, you know, that, because I think research is implicit in the academic. It's not as if I'm, you know, it's part of your chores. It's your makeup, your DNA makeup. Your wake-up is the question. And you do a question, you do research, and you pass on that information to the students and enable them to, you know, evaluate that piece of information and use it then according to what discipline they're taking.
In fact, I suppose there has to be this sort of symbiotic relationship between lecturing and research. Mm. And one hopes that the students then are benefiting by the kind of work that the academics have been doing.
Remember, the students come from an environment where there's a fixed curriculum, right? And you have to answer, you know, and then you do exams and you answer these questions. Okay, the university, remember, caters for both the type of degree in which there's, you know, a bit more openness, and two, also has degrees for the professionals. For example, in my faculty, it's medicine. Medicine is not a hard and fast science. Yeah, we have an understanding, a better understanding compared to 100 years ago, for example, of how maybe your brain works, my particular field. And there are a number of disorders, brain function disorders, for example, from anxiety to schizophrenia to Huntington's disease, Parkinson's disease, etc. We have a better understanding, but we don't understand totally. So it's not black or white. It's somewhere in between, gray. For students, then, to learn about this, that they read one paper and one academic says, look, from my standpoint, these are the findings. And then you read another paper and, you know, it's totally the opposite. And so they have to evaluate the information and say, right, okay, yeah, maybe it's this or maybe that, but what is my personal view on these two different views on this particular problem? And then, remember, they're going to go out there and they're going to treat me in my old age. So I really need...
You're investing in your own future.
Exactly.
Perhaps I can turn to Dr. Bartolot now, because you have a title, Corporate Research and Knowledge Transfer, which sounds very grand. Perhaps in the first instance you'd like to tell us what is really meant by corporate research. Professor Muscat has been talking about the research that goes on here, about perhaps the individual researcher or the researcher within a department. But corporate research, I imagine, means that there is more than one group involved.
That's correct. Yes, till a few years ago, and very much so now, most of the research at university has been conducted by individual academics, or maybe small groups of two or three people within the same department. However, the university is moving basically it's following what many of the larger universities in Europe do, promoting group research, and especially interdepartmental research, which is becoming very important. So, for example, we have a group that is looking at digital games. Now, when you have a subject like digital games, you have, for example, input from the media knowledge science faculty, and of course from the ICT faculty also. So through the digital games initiative that we're working on, we're bringing these two groups together. First of all, to do research, joint research in the area, but also through the initiative to create courses which are interdisciplinary, where you're looking at, on the media side, you're looking at the artistic part of games, you're looking at the storyboarding of games, and from the ICT side, you're looking at the actual programming and the physics of making the games work. Another example of corporate research of groups coming together is the initiative we're taking with respect to the biobank and the increased activity in the area of biotechnology, which is brought about basically because of the BioMalta initiative that Malta Enterprises is working upon. And there again, you see various groups who are coming together around biotechnology in the health and biotech areas at the university.
I know that we have dentists working with engineers and lots of different departments getting together now. And in fact, this is sometimes quite interesting. In the past, we've had departments who've been very happy to link up with similar departments in far-flung countries, but perhaps the person across the corridor in another department has not come into their equation. And that's changing now.
Yes, very much so. I think the cutting edge of research and the major developments at the moment are where you're looking at interdisciplinary research. Maybe a very good example, which has happened recently at the university, is the setting up of the Center for Biomedical Cybernetics that has been created recently, where you have collaboration between the health sciences faculty, for example, the physiotherapy department, with the departments in engineering, of mechanical engineering, and also signal processing. So there they're looking at things such as gait analysis, so the study of how a human walks. And you are, on the one hand, recording signals from the person's muscle, and filming exactly what the movements are, and obviously have input from the physiotherapists who have the knowledge about the actual human and what's going on within the human.
What about the links with industry itself? I know it's a sort of buzz expression, you know, getting contacts with industry, but actually it's not so easy, is it, really? Because the industry has sort of small windows of opportunity for research and that kind of thing, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. I think if you asked this question maybe 2-3 years ago, I would have told you we're very far away from real collaboration. But I think recently there's been a lot of increased awareness, both from the industry part to realize that they need to innovate and that there are very good people at university who can help them with this through research and development, basically. And also an increased awareness within the academics that there is a lot to do in applied research with industry. Maybe the greatest catalyst that is bringing about this transformation is what Professor Muscat mentioned, the R&I program of the Malta Council for Science and Technology, which in a way is funding recently about 5 or 6 projects every year, but inspiring maybe 40, 50 applications. And although these applications are not funded, the fact that the industry has come to discuss a project with university and realize that the university can add value is increasing a lot the actual dialogue between the two parties. So we're seeing a lot of interest even outside the R&D program now, where industry is coming to us and saying, we have this problem, can you solve it for us?
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, it's 500,000 monies about on average available, and there's about 5 million worth of applications. So yeah, if you put those two together, you realize that the potential seems to be growing. And like you were saying, absolutely right, is that means that people are talking together. The academics from university are talking to industry, and industry are looking for particular academics to do particular projects. So now you've created that, you know, sort of, you know, environment, which this is now is becoming the norm rather than the exception.
The idea before, as you said, was that the industry was production-based and there wasn't much R&D going on, even in some of the bigger industries that we have here. Now perhaps that is changing, and perhaps something like the Life Science Park, where you're going to have different researchers and different, say, the pharmaceutical industry, perhaps that will give it a boost.
I think so, but the key here I think, is that if we don't have our own companies, Isamortis, and our own research, then I don't think as an island we're going to survive. Because, you know, in the past it was companies from abroad that set up here, fine, you know, the context was right, you know, the environment was right, etc. But the research was done in the parent company, because no company is going to give out its little gems. So what the research was, the type of research was done here, was in production, that, you know, I can make the line a bit quicker or a bit better, you know, maybe more efficient, etc. So the engineering faculty has a lot of experience of doing this, you know. But now the point is coming where the companies themselves need to be Maltese companies with Maltese researchers. And so now that becomes the key. Now we have something to sell. The company, you know, can be globalized, can be international, but it now starts here. Not that a company comes here for a while, and maybe the example is, you know, the betting games company that might be here for a while, we don't know, and then they might disappear again, and therefore an industry disappears. That now is moving, because there are a number of people who've come through university and been doing research or whatever, have the entrepreneurship, because that's another thing that's coming on board at university, and Anton maybe talk about this, to go out there and, you know, set up their companies with the help of Malta Enterprise or whatever, and the sort of grants that are provided by MCSD, and then get their company going, and it's indigenous, it's ours.
I mean, that would lead me on to a question about IP, really. Then, you know, we've had recently some of Malta's first sort of patents, really. Tell us about that.
One of the responsibilities of my office is to manage the intellectual property of the university. And over the past couple of years, we've kind of created a framework for this through, for example, the IP policy that has been taken up at university. Since the awareness has been raising, we've had more and more of the academics coming to us with ideas for inventions, etc. And in fact, we have been filing a number of patents, both locally and internationally. The next step, which follows filing of a patent, is of course looking for commercialization for that patent. So basically looking for companies internationally, locally and internationally, who are interested in the technology and who are interested in using it for manufacturing products, services, etc. I think this is something which has just started, but which has a long way to go.
This is part of the entrepreneurship as well that Professor Muscat mentioned, that you can have researchers who are actually going to have to become entrepreneurial with their own products, really, or at least perhaps get some help from the university as well to do that.
Yeah. Till now, the number of startups which have been created directly from the university are practically non-existent, really. You do have students who then proceed to create their own company, etc., but not really what we call a technology entrepreneurs. And this is something also we're trying to jumpstart. In fact, we've applied and managed to get an ESF project. And one of the activities that we'll be conducting through the project is to set up a number of modules in technology entrepreneurship, so that students or even former graduates who are interested in setting up a technology company will be able to take this course and get the basic knowledge that they need in things such as management, internationalization, patent protection, all the areas that one needs to know in order to set up a successful company. And through the modules, we hope to provide this information to encourage, first of all, and also enable potential entrepreneurs to be successful in their ventures.
The key, though, here is that you're going to set up as well an incubation center, through which some of the ideas of those students, you know, maybe it's a master's program or whatever it is, that they can try the ideas out here and get the help necessary to get going. And then maybe if it's, for example, from my side, you know, life science and the biopark next door, they'll be able to then just move over to the other side and don't feel that the leap is, you know, I've just been out in the middle and then go there. That there's somewhere in between where the university is going to have this incubation center to enable these students to make the jump.
This is all very exciting stuff, and I'm getting quite enthusiastic about it. And I can imagine that a lot of people out there would be getting quite excited about what we've been saying. Edward, first of all, welcome to the programme and welcome to the University of Malta. I think that's a must this morning because you're a recent addition to our staff. You actually don't like the expression popularization, you prefer communication. So perhaps you could say, you know, why that is. And tell us a little bit about why you feel that you feel strongly about communicating science, and I might say also not only science, but the research that goes on even in other faculties, Faculty of Arts, etc.
Thanks, Patricia, for the kind introduction. Why communicate research might be the question here. First of all, to answer the popularization and communication debate, popularization is simply making, telling people that, you know, science should be popular, it's cool and fun, which are worthwhile. But I think when you communicate, you are engaging the public. You are not simply telling them this is what you're meant to understand from the research. You're telling them, look, this is the cool research you're doing, and then listening to what the public themselves are interested in. It's the mentality that you use to talk to the public with. And communicating research to the public is very important. We, after all, live in a democracy, and a democracy is meant to be elected by the people who vote and put certain individuals in government that are meant to then carry out what the people want. That's what it's meant to be in an ideal scenario. But if the public do not think that research is important, then neither will government. And if that doesn't happen, then research will not become a political agenda. Then the government manifestos will not have research in them. And this is what we see in Malta. The research is not given a huge importance. We don't have debates about how we should approach funding research. And this needs to change. I mean, in the UK, each political party does prepare a research agenda. And in fact, science was one of the things that was not cut by the Conservative, the coalition government in power. And that was because of this very strong communication there is in the UK for scientific research. Unfortunately, the arts were still cut, which I think is a shame. Another reason why the university needs to communicate its research is because it's a publicly funded institution. So it has a social duty to show the public, look, this is how your money is being spent. It's not just employing researchers and teaching the next generation. It's also finding these amazing things that might in the future then help society and help advance our knowledge of how we look at the world. And maybe another thing is coming back to the education role of university is that when you communicate something which is inspiring, that can then help the student to dream bigger things, to go beyond secondary education, going to tertiary education, so that they don't limit themselves by their imagination, but try to achieve as much as they can. I think that is incredibly important.
The Research Matters publication, which there has already been one edition, is going to help us do that, I hope. I'll help the university communicate its research. Some of the challenges of reaching the academics, how have you found that so far? You haven't had so much experience with our academics yet, but still.
I've been talking to the academics here longer than just how long I've been employed, mostly because I've been running Malta Café Scientifique, which is meant to be doing this, meant to be bringing the academics into the public and them then having an informal discussion about their topic. Yes, it can be difficult to help an academic understand the importance of communicating their research. You will get some academics who you know, just let them do their research and they can do that well, and that's fine. But then there are other academics who do have a talent at talking about the research, and they can do it much better than I can, because they really understand their subject and they have a much broader range of knowledge which they can draw upon. And when you infuse that with their personal experiences and motivations, I think that's when you really reach a point that is very powerful, because then just the power of their voice will be enough to capture an audience.
Yes, and be, as you said, inspirational. Well, unfortunately, as I thought, the minutes have passed very quickly. I'd like to thank Professor Richard Muscat, Dr. Anton Bartolo, and Dr. Edward Duca for being on University Matters today.
Thank you very much. Thank
you for being with us on University Matters. You can listen to any of the previous interviews in this series on the Campus FM website. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye. Il-programm li għadkom kemm smajtu kien miġjub li l-kom bixxewqat tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.